One, two, three, four! Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night, there's something new. You never know just
Among the adventures we will have tonight, we will explore the joys of milled pavement and find out why Johnny's chair is vibrating.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
Hi, kids. Him and her back live on the radio, and on a night when Johnny is still dealing with a bad back, her chair is vibrating.
It's not just my chair, so don't make it sound like my medication just kicked in and I've gone for a free ride. I'm sitting across from the keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda. Bob, your chair is also vibrating, right? Oh, no. Now you're going to say no? Thank you, because I looked around the room, and Steve wasn't reacting, and then I looked at Bob, and he gave me the knowing look of, yeah,
yep.
That's why your microphone is vibrating, that's why your chair is moving.
So, can you give us the technical explanation, because is this studio, as the studio in the Tribune Tower was, kind of on a floating
floor?
Yeah.
So that different parts of the floor would react differently to different things, and because I'm honestly not getting any of that vibration, and I'm watching Johnny and Bob go boing, 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 boing.
At least it doesn't feel like an earthquake, because it's kind True. Of a natural vibration. It's not like a, oh, this is not right.
Yeah, we're not diving for underneath the
No, we're not.
So
no.
We're probably, all good.
But. You know what, Bob? Probably somebody walked down the hall.
Yeah.
Brett walked down the hall, and they kind of shook the floor, and we went, oh, okay, got our attention. Yes, I am here. I am not medicated tonight, so I have no excuse for talking nonsense.
Oh, really?
I should have signed in. I am heavily medicated. That way anything goes.
And coming in tonight, if you go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see some of the pictures Johnny took of our route in tonight. And we took the Kennedy to avoid the fun that is DeSable Lakeshore Drive. We took that in... Actually, earlier this week,
right,
we were
Wednesday.
On DeSable Lakeshore Drive,
and
fortunately didn't have any horrible tire issues, but that has become a thing.
Wow. Well, and right now, the drive southbound at Irving Park should be closed for this resurfacing work that's going on. And we were lucky. We drove southbound on Lakeshore Drive on Wednesday, and it was on Thursday when people started reporting. I mean, dozens of cars were damaged by hitting potholes and sewer tops that are raised up when the top layer of asphalt is taken away, and the road is... The term they use is milled, when you're down to just the grading on the road.
And we thought we were going to avoid all that. So we take the Kennedy in, and we're scooting in. on Ohio, and then we come down Orleans, and we take Illinois.
Illinois.
And as we're driving on Illinois, all of a sudden, oh joy, you get some milled payment.
Right, right.
Hey, we know how to have a good time.
Well, at least when it's done. I mean, the part of the drive that's done is fabulous.
Except for, as we found out on Wednesday, except for the bridges.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
You'll be driving along on this smooth pavement, but they haven't leveled it off with the bridges. So all of a sudden, kabump.
Right, right. Well, that just keeps you on your toes, you know. But if you, in fact, I don't mean
this on your toes.
Yeah, I don't mean to be silly because it is very serious. In fact, Julian, you were working on Friday morning on the Surratt Show, right?
Yep.
And Andy said that he actually saw someone's tire just disintegrate in front of him.
If I recall correctly,
that's weird. So we also heard that tow trucks are not allowed on Lakeshore Drive.
And I don't get that because
I don't either.
For years we always thought the rule was you're not supposed to take a truck, pickup truck, whatever, on Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
But if you are only going to get on at one exit and exit at the very next exit, you're given a pass. So why wouldn't the emergency trucks be given a pass for that?
That had to be done because of the trucks that would have to get on Lakeshore Drive to load in over at McCormick Place, right, Bob? Mm-hmm. Because you have to drive on a part of Lakeshore Drive in a big semi to take everything for the whatever the show is at McCormick Place. So they said, well, that's the rule. You can get on, but you have to get right off again.
Ron, when you're going to the Cubs games, any problems with that, with trucks that you see?
I've never heard that that was the case, that trucks weren't allowed on Lakeshore Drive. I never realized
what is it?
That.
If you have a B plate, you're not allowed on...
This is true.
B plate or above. Yeah.
Or above, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was actually stopped on the drive once. I was driving a station van. I was moving my furniture, and I used the station's van and didn't think about it, and I got stopped, and I said, oh, okay. And then I became the traffic maven here at WGN, and people were always calling about that. Well, there's no signs at say I can't drive a truck on Lakeshore Drive, or does that mean I can't take my sport utility vehicle? It's the B and above plates.
Yeah.
But
I believe it's because at one time they classified Lakeshore Drive as a boulevard.
Yes.
Yes.
Nothing above a B plate.
That's true. And back in the day, that was a very big deal. Like Pratt was a boulevard. You didn't drive trucks. And then
up in Lincolnwood.
In Lincolnwood. And then there isn't Ridge. Wasn't Ridge a boulevard?
I think it was.
Yeah. So, again, there's no signage. If you're not from the area, you weren't born and raised here, you don't know all of these little idiosyncrasies. But, you know, back to the problem on Lakeshore Drive, if you have some damage to your vehicle, and this is what I found stunning, the tow truck driver that was interviewed on the news said that literally they had towed dozens of cars. But he says, we can't go on the drive. You have to drive your damaged vehicle off the drive.
And damage your vehicle
even
more.
Now you want to file a complaint with the city. And you can you can do that.
Yeah, you sure can.
You need to send your firstborn first. They'll take that. Your
Maybe.
Your pets, they'll take those. No, actually, you have to have two estimates, and you have to have a police report, and you have to have all of your receipts, and then you have to have the patience of a saint, because it's going to be a long time before someone gets around to looking at your case.
And you can't call. It's all online.
Of course.
It's true. Okay, I'm going to sound like the old fart here. I don't understand how everything could be online. We had an occasion over the past week to talk to people who don't have smartphones and needed to access their medical records, for example, or was chastised when they got to the doctor's office because they didn't sign in.
With my chart.
And they don't have a phone, so they didn't do that. They didn't know they were supposed to. I said, That stinks.
Your labs, your appointments,
your
billing all goes through my chart.
Yes. And you say, well, when I get there, I'll take the clipboard and I'll, you know, take an extra 15 minutes. They don't want you to do that. They want it in the computer.
Or I've found that most times when I go to the doctor, even though I have filled out everything, every time I go to the doctor,
oh, well, we just upgraded our computer system, so we don't have any of that.
I told you the last time, I said, they just do that to aggravate you. They give you a clipboard every time you walk in, and you go, what?
And that's why my blood pressure is high.
That's right. Well, we have a big show tonight. This week, next week, we will be on a little bit later, too,
right?
Because, Bob, is that the start of hockey?
Next week is Blackhawks.
Yeah, preseason hockey. Yeah. But tonight,
with our new guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
With Charlie. Yep.
Charlie. Do you know Charlie?
Not personally, no.
He's got a big fan base, though.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that online. People are like, oh, Charlie, you're so lucky you got Charlie. So we're happy we have Charlie, and we'll meet him next week. But we got a lot coming up tonight. We're going to be talking with Susie Bogus in a few minutes, and it's car night, so we're going to talk with Tom Appel.
But before we take a break, during the break, think of what possible song would it be very, very appropriate for us to play as a bump on this particular night.
Okay.
That's the only clue you get.
All right.
So now, think. King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Interesting text at 312-981-7200, guessing what song we would play. Thunder Road. Well, I can understand that.
I was hoping there was something like Johnny's Back. You know, a timely personal song like that. But no. Do you remember?
The 21st night of September.
And this is it, friends. This is it.
And we have to thank our former program director, Mary June Rose, for putting that in both of our heads.
Because there's news of a documentary about Earth, Wind, and Fire. Questlove is going to be doing the documentary about them. There was one done about 20-something years ago called Shining Star. But this one is going to be the like their whole history. And Questlove, of course, did a documentary called Summer of Soul. And this film will examine the band's legacy, their cultural impact, and their body of work, and it will feature exclusive access to the band's archives of visual, audio, and written material, as well as support of the estate of Maurice White and the entire band. That's very cool.
Anything Questlove gets involved with has some quality to it.
Do we have Summer of Soul? Because it won an Oscar, and I thought we recorded it, and it's on our machine.
I think we have it someplace. We have so many things that we've DVR'd.
Yeah.
How many episodes? What was the show that we have something like 20-some episodes of some show that we haven't?
Well, it's Supergirl. We have that.
Yeah, because we wanted to see the ending.
No, you wanted to see it.
I wanted to see all the crossovers, and we just never got around to that.
Can we free up that space?
But then on our DVR right now, every week, we have about 20 episodes of Blue Bloods, because we're catching up on the early.
Right.
Now we're into season two,
episode nine. Right. We've watched all of one. We've watched all of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, and most of 14. So we're literally, this is the summer of Blue Bloods. We're catching up on it and loving it.
Yeah.
I like to binge a show, especially if it's something that I really, really get into.
And what was the episode we just watched? This is from season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really interesting episode. And you said Sean Cassidy wrote the script for
it. Yes, that was season 2, episode 8, Sean Cassidy, which sent me down the rabbit hole looking into Sean Cassidy's life. And I guess since he was a teenager bopper, he's been a very successful writer, director, producer of television shows.
What was the... There was a show that we started watching on CBS years ago on Friday nights.
Yes.
It was kind of a
supernatural-ish
show that he was the executive producer of, or he was the writer or something like
you're
that.
You're right. I don't know.
Oh.
But we'll take
a
break.
And it was a good show. Oh, Picket Fences or something like that?
No, that wasn't Supernatural. And that was David E. Kelly.
Okay.
Picket Fences was. But that was Friday night, so it's good memory.
American Gothic?
American Gothic,
yes.
Thank you, Julian. We're going to take a break.
Your work here is done, Julian.
No.
You'll stick around anyway.
Yeah, please stay. Coming up, we're going to visit with Susie Boggess. Oh, please stick around to visit with her. And got a lot to cover tonight right here on WGN.
Into the past, $1 million casinos floating on a huffing raft. Goodbye to land for the cotton, mansions up on the bluff. We build the levees tall and strong, but you know it's never enough. We thought it would last forever, but it's crumbling at our feet. It all falls down to the river. The river falls down to the sea.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I can't tell you how much I love that album.
And
well,
this,
yeah, I'm telling you how much I love this album.
I love this song, too. I got goosebumps. That is Susie Boggess. And we are tickled that we can say hello to Susie Boggess tonight. And how are you, Miss Susie?
Hi. Thanks for plugging my tune. I love that. Thank you.
That is such a good album. I know we talked about it when you first released it, but it's still in my top 10 favorite albums that you've ever done. It's just wonderful stuff.
Thank you so much, you guys. I was playing last night at the Bluebird here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It's Americana Week here in town, and I was there with Robert Earl Keen, who I don't know if you guys have spoken to him before, but he's been doing this as long as I have, and a young fellow who is Alan Jackson's nephew. Oh my gosh, this guy is so talented. Same as Adam Wright. And he had a duet with his wife for years called The Wrights.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name. And anyway, we had such a great time. But that song, there was a young gal that was going to school at MTSU down here in Tennessee. And she said that she volunteers for the school program before school. And she does the kindergartners. And she said she has tried all different kinds of music, playing different artists, some of the sweeter kind of things. But she said when she plays that song in the morning, all the kids just be quiet. They're just like, they sit and they're quiet. And she said, I don't know what it is.
How like, cool.
That's a great compliment.
Maybe I need to do a lullaby album.
Yeah, and you got to sing your low register because I think that's what gets your attention. You're just like, whoa.
It is low. Yeah.
That's some funky stuff. And for anybody who doesn't know, the album is Praying for Sunshine, and it is Susie Boggess' most recent album. And talking with Susie tonight is kind of a bittersweet thing. It's great because we always like to talk to Susie. But sadly, we just found out that a wonderful ceremony that we were privileged to be asked by Susie to be involved with at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, their Hall of Fame induction ceremony, has been canceled because of some asbestos problems that they're dealing with at the Rialto Square Theater.
So it's not going to happen on October 20th, but it is going to happen in 2025.
Right, which, you know, we can look forward to that. It's just that I was kind of looking forward to hugging your neck.
Yeah.
In my head that I was going to see you face to face.
Yeah.
I haven't for a long time now.
But look at it this way. We have more time to find outfits.
Okay. I'll look at it that way. So does that mean I have more time to start a new diet?
Exactly. That was my very next sentence. Yes. And now I can kick into that diet that I've been talking about forever, just in time. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, why do I get the feeling that if Johnny and Susie ever went shopping together, the smell of burning plastic would permeate the entire Midwest?
We would do our part for the economy, right, Susie?
We certainly would.
Yes.
And, you know, we actually could open some new accounts. We still have all this time now. So.
Right.
Don't worry, Steve. I'm a great influence.
Well, we haven't talked to you since you got the word that you were chosen to receive the President's Award, the President's Choice Award, which is a very big deal at the Rock Hall. And this is their fourth year of inductees, so you would be inducted as well. And we were just tickled that they've expanded, and it was pretty evident, I think, from the get-go that they had expanded from just, quote, rock and roll music to just music. It's music, and it's got a tie to Illinois, then we need to recognize it. And
Well, Illinois, I mean, you know, it's like that down here in Tennessee too, and especially in Nashville and Memphis, you know, but Chicago and the whole, you know, even, you know, other parts of Illinois, like where I come from, where the cornfields are prominent. You know, there's so much music and so many different styles and stylists and people who, you know, have, you know, combined different flavors of music and made their own kind of thing out of it. So I think that's really awesome that they're going to be more inclusive with things, because it really, music's so subjective anyway. It's really hard to, you know, to just completely label something as rock and roll, you know?
Yes.
So I think that's just awesome. And of course, I'm honored to death. I mean, it's just that super huge honor for me.
Well, we've always said there are two kinds of music, what you like and what you don't like.
Yep.
And don't get, you know, bogged down with, oh, but it doesn't fit in a category that suits my age group or whatever. You know, just set that aside. Because in your case, Susie, of course, you're known as a country music performer, award-winning CMA, ACM, Grammy Award-winning. But your jazz album, whoa. Anything you touch, pop music, I mean, you are so, you've expanded so much over the years that it's really hard to pinpoint you as just a country performer.
Well, it's definitely dabbling. None of those things are, you know, like totally my comfort zone, but it's always been fun to experiment with that. And you guys know, you know, my good friend Pat Bergeson.
Sure.
He can play anything.
Yeah.
So he's almost always involved in my records. And, you know, it's like I can just sort of whisper in his ear what I'm kind of looking towards doing.
Yeah.
And I just always feel like it's having a collaborator that you... that you know can see your vision, or at least, you know, something pretty darn close to it, and then help you to achieve that. I mean, it's a big help. And you know, Pat's been my friend. I think, you know, Chet Atkins introduced us in 92, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in the studio and just, you know, he just played a couple of little riffs, and I said, oh my gosh, could you play a solo on this song? And then, you know, he played this amazing, like, 8-bar solo. It's just a small little thing, but it took the song and just changed the whole mood of it. I ended up having to put strings on it, because after that solo, it just needed to be like even more dynamic. And so that started our friendship, and he's a Batavia boy.
He is, yeah, mm-hmm. Right out in the Fox Valley. Sure. Susie, yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back with you. We're talking with Susie Boggess, the wonderful Susie Boggess, and maybe this is the first you've heard about the concert on October 20th. It has been canceled for October 20th. This is the Rock Hall on Route 66 out in Joliet. It has been canceled. It will happen in the early part of 2025 because they have an unbelievable lineup scheduled for this year's induction. Back with Susie in just a moment here on WGN.
Again, feel the wind across the waves and live from day to day. Where life is not predictable, wondering what is round the very next bay. I'd like to raise the sails again, watching for the whales again, and never have to say. I wish that I had done the things that I can't do when I'm too old to play.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with the wonderful Susie Boggess, and that is an extraordinary cut from Muriel Anderson's album. That is a terrific cut with Muriel and Susie. It's called Sailing Dream. And you talk about working with someone. You and Muriel, just, boy, do you blend together wonderfully on that.
I love her so much, and she wrote that song, and you know, when it came to me, she was singing the song, and I was like, "Why do you want me? You did a fine job, you know." And she does sing the harmonies in there with mm-hmm. me, which is pretty cool. But you know, it's so funny because again, Chet brought Muriel and I together, mm-hmm. Chet Atkins, and you know, I remember meeting her up in his office one day. I used to just stop by there whenever I was down around Music Row here. And I thought, oh my gosh, here's this dainty little gal. And Chet just raves about her guitar playing. I want to see. I mean, how can a tiny little girl play, you know, like dig in, as they say, you know, as Paul Yandel used to say. And oh my gosh, they sat down and started playing together, and my mouth just dropped open. I'm just, you know, I'm a huge fan of hers. I just think she's an amazing artist, and she's one of the bravest people I've ever met. I mean, she travels all over the world, and a lot of times by herself.
Unbelievable. Carrying her equipment.
Do you know the story about how Kathy and Matea and I were traveling with our tour managers? Mine is my husband, Doug Kreider, mm-hmm. and then hers, Don London. And so we stopped to use the restroom, and I think we were going to Pennsylvania, and I think we stopped in New Jersey because we've been in New York. And we stopped at this rest area and pulled in, and swear to God, we pulled in right next to Muriel, and she was just getting out of her car. And so it was just like, you know, unbelievable. You know, here we are, out where there's gazillions of people. And so what does she do? She says, I have this song I want you guys to hear. She pulls her guitar out on in the parking lot of this place and plays us a song and says, either one of you guys want to cut this? I really think you could do it.
Oh,
you're great. She plugged us a song while we were in a parking lot. And how in the world did we happen to be there at the same moment and park next to each other?
Sometimes things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
I guess so. Well, I guess, you know, it worked out because I did sing the song. So there you go.
Yeah. Wow. Well, she was in here in the studio performing for us just a couple of weeks ago. And like you, I just stand back in awe of the things that she does. I'm like, okay.
and as a matter of fact, I'm going to have to send you a link when Julian gets the video, because Julian did some video, our producer did some videos when Muriel was in here. And she started singing Vincent, you know, the classic Don McLean song. But then she started singing it in French. No one had ever translated. She did the French translation, and it was a magical moment.
It really was.
Just extraordinary.
I bet that really was. Did she bring her harp?
Yes,
guitar?
She did.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That thing just blows my mind. She came here to do my Wind Down Wednesday with me, mm-hmm. you know, and she brought that, and my son Ben was here, and his eyes were just like big saucers. He was just like, what in the world is that, and how in the world are you doing that?
Yeah.
He had just never seen anything like it before.
Are you still doing Wind Down Wednesday?
I do it once a month now.
Okay.
Because I'm touring so much. Mm-hmm. And so at least I still get to keep that little bit of connection with people. And I'm going to actually be doing one next week. I guess I'll do one on this coming Wednesday. I've been trying to do the last Wednesday of every month.
Oh, good.
But it doesn't always yeah. work out, because sometimes I'm, you know, in the mountains or someplace I can't mm-hmm. get signal. So, but I'm trying to do it once a month and just keep it going.
Well, speaking of touring, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but blatant plug, where can people see you over the next couple of weeks?
Well, let's see. We're going to be in Kentucky this next weekend, and then I'll be in Kansas. We're doing Kansas City, I think something like the 4th of October, mm-hmm. and then we're doing 3 dates in Kansas, so Kingman and a town called Colby. I don't know, we're all over the place this next few months. It's nice, and I'm happy to be working. I love my job.
Well, we love talking with you and everything that you do, and we're looking forward to, in the new year, that big celebration that we'll have at the Rock Hall on Route 66 in Joliet. And thank you for joining us tonight. We just wanted to get the word out to folks who are looking forward to that,
yeah.
just to tell them, you know, sit tight. We've got time to lose weight and get, you know, really cool outfits.
Yeah, really cool outfit.
Okay.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you,
we
too.
We love you back, Susie.
Take care.
I'll be seeing you soon. Okay?
All right. Be safe. Bye-bye now.
There's a young man that I know whose age is 21. Someday soon, going with him someday soon.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio, a little bit more of Susie Boggess. I think that's when I first fell in love with Susie.
Me too. Yep.
Just great, great song.
That song is just, the way she sings it too, yeah. I just go places in my head.
Yeah.
we talked with Susie for a few minutes. When we get closer to the date for the big shindig at the Rialto Square Theater, sponsored by the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 in Joliet, we're going to do a career retrospective with her. We're
yeah.
going to get her on the radio, and you're going to talk about all of the things that she's done for like the last 40 years,
yeah.
starting at Dollywood in Tennessee. And
hopefully we can get her in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. But the show on October 20th, if you go to her site, and some folks did after we were chatting with her, you will see that she still has the concert on October 20th posted. That has been canceled for the time being because of a problem with asbestos in the Rialto Square Theater.
Yeah.
And apparently this removal of the asbestos has been going on for some time, but things kind of got to the point where they said, you know what, we've just got to close the theater down to clean
yeah.
this place up, to get rid of all of it, to make it a safe environment. And as a result of that...
And good for them for
yeah,
doing that.
The October 20th show had to be pushed into 2025. And because Susie will be receiving the President's Choice Award, along with being inducted into the Hall of Fame, they will work around her schedule, so it'll probably be sometime in February or March of next year.
And it's going to be, assuming everybody who had committed to the show in October can make it
right
after the first of the year. Our friend Marshall Thompson from the Shy Lights.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a a tribute to Muddy Waters, and I forget all of the other things.
Right.
That are
a VJ Records
yeah.
tribute. Also, Steve Goodman will be recognized. Songwriter, singer-songwriter Steve Goodman.
Right.
And a listener sent us a text and said it was 40 years ago yesterday that he passed away.
40 years
I
ago?
I know. How can that be?
That's... What?
I know. I said the same thing. And what? Then I looked, and sure enough, it was 40 years ago. He would be recognized at this year's celebration, mm-hmm. along with Willie Dixon, Bonnie Kolak, John Prine, also recognized. So they've got just a fantastic lineup.
It's going to be a wonderful night.
It will be, yeah. And, yeah, we were bummed when we found out October 20th wouldn't happen, because, honestly, we were going to be – planned on being in Florida, and we were going to fly home for that weekend to do the show, because we were so honored that she asked us to induct her.
Yeah.
And we said, of course. So now all of those plans have changed.
So, and for those of you who are asking, our plans are a little bit on the bubble, too. We had planned to be taking you down to Florida with us for about a month or so, and quite candidly, depending on how Johnny's back feels, that may or may not happen.
Mm-hmm. We won't be flying out this Monday, because I'm just not in a place where I can sit on a plane for a few hours.
Sitting in a studio is a whole lot different than sitting on a plane.
Because you can get up and, you know, move around and stretch and such. So we did delay our leaving Chicago, which may turn out to be a real blessing because of what may be a ginormous storm.
Yeah, a hurricane that it was initially they weren't sure, and now the more and more it's looking like,
it's
going to turn
at
into something.
Four different models, and the four models indicate that wherever it hits in the Gulf of Mexico, whether it's Texas or it's Florida, it looks to be a biggie because the water is so warm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be there when that happens.
Nope.
I'm fine following it on the news. And it just so happens that they're talking about mid to late next week, we'll get a feel for exactly what it's going to be and where it's going to hit. So, but when we talked with Susie Boggess, she was talking about performing with Muriel Anderson and that amazing story of the universe putting them in the same truck stop parking lot. She and Kathy Mattea get out of the car, and who's in the car right next to them is Muriel Anderson. And Muriel was in here with us just 2 weeks ago, and we had such a great response. People said, she is just... she's so special.
And a lot of people have been listening to the podcast, but we mentioned that there were going to be some videos that were going to be surfacing. And Julian has an update on the surfacing videos. Lay it on us, Julian.
The video for Vincent is now available and coming in mere minutes, Rainy Harbor.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that will be posted. We'll let you know. We'll post, check our blog, check our Facebook page, and we will post it on the Steve and Johnny Show YouTube page.
And I'll
we'll post some links.
I'll attach it to the old podcast with Muriel Anderson.
Cool.
Oh, good. Great.
Okay.
Now, Julian does beautiful video work. Now, previously, I've been blown away by the equipment that you bring in. What did you use that night? Because I didn't see you working with your watch. Because I think one time before, I think it was when we had the empty pockets in, you were doing something with your watch, and you were able to move your cameras with your watch.
I actually had my phone. There's an app that I can connect to my cameras with. I was able to remotely interact with my camera.
That's crazy. So you had a camera on a tripod,
mm-hmm.
and you were holding a camera, right?
Two cameras on a tripod, and then one in my hand.
Wow.
Andy's producing the show at the same
time. That's right, yes. Playing the commercials and, you know, scurrying down the hall to get everything on time. And the editing that he does is just beautiful.
Wonderful.
It really is. So, Steve, you engineer the sound part of it, and then he mm-hmm. makes it look so pretty.
Sync it all up.
Yeah, it comes together beautifully.
So, again, if you're not able to see it initially, don't worry. Give me about 24 hours. I'll get some links up, and we'll post it on the Steve and Johnny YouTube page, and we'll put links on Facebook and all the ships at sea.
Mm-hmm. To answer the question that has popped up on our 312-981-7200, will you do a shout-out tonight? Oh, we will indeed, right after this on WGN.
I have no idea who this is, but I love it. Julian, who is this?
Men with hats.
Very close. Devo.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is so cool. I never heard that one.
Who was the lead singer of Devo that we had?
We had him on the show.
Yeah.
And he was a great interview.
He was. Funny, though, I said men with hats because they wore those goofy hats.
Yeah.
Mark Mothersbaugh.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Because he was working with Lisa McLowery.
Yes.
And it was just a great story. And we said, well, gee, we need to talk to him about Devo's popularity and the fact that they're still around. And so this is Devo. Well, leave it to Julian to unearth a fabulous
show. Keep that in the archives. That's a keeper. I like that a lot.
And we want to shout out to, let me start here with Heidi Ho from PJ and Prairie Grove. It rhymes. Thank you, PJ. Butternut Bonnie's in Schaumburg, and Jim Gajewski is in Aurora. And let's see, I'm going to roll through these here. Also, we have I want to say a special shout out to Diane Peterson and Chuck Snitchler. They are the admins, the administrators of the WGN Radio and TV fan page, and they do a terrific
on Facebook.
On Facebook, they do a terrific job of that too. And as I always say about Chuck, he's the best friend that this radio station has because he stays on top of everything from schedules to who's doing what, pictures, everything. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville, and David Shine is in Mount Prospect with his cat Kedzie. That's a great name for a cat. That's cat with a K, Kedzie. Don's in Portage, Michigan. Stacy's in Algonquin. Bonnie and George are in Elgin. Laura and Cotton are in Willowbrook. It's funny because people are checking in with their pets tonight. We have about a dozen pets that have checked in. So this is Laura and Cotton in Willowbrook, Bob and Sherry in Arlington Heights, Dave in Oak Park, Peter in Southeast Cook County, Butternut Bonnie's in Schaumburg, JP's in Peoria, Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee, Becky Osayoff. I've been practicing in Becky. I'm sorry. She's in Northbrook. Diane Vasquez is tuned in, and she's a regular, and we appreciate your listening, Diane. Quick-like, we had a bunch of mail, and they feel like cards, and I haven't opened them yet. But I want to say hi to Jim Smetana, who sent us some mail and has been writing to us for years. Marie Gaughan in Chicago, and Margie Ritchie, who never misses a birthday or an
from Wisconsin.
Oh, from Glendale Heights, Margie Ritchie is.
Okay, then who am I thinking of from Wisconsin that was that I thought was also named Margie?
I don't know. George Simonson is in Elgin, and he sent a couple of cards. So thank you for sending us good old-fashioned mail.
And you can always, yes, we get our mail once a week.
Yes.
We come in and we get our mail.
Susie Schemmel is in St. Joseph. No, she says she's in Glen Ellen. She's going to turn to St. Joseph to make me feel better. And I really do appreciate that, Susie. Delphine Behrman is tuned in with her AM radio. Larry Mann is been a long day here in Miami, he says. Wow. Thank you, Larry, for listening. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Carrie Johnson was listening to the Northwestern game and stuck around for us. She's in Palm Coast, Florida. Janet Appenzeller. I just like saying Appenzeller. Mm-hmm. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood. Bobby Danos is our buddy out in Sandwich. He's tuned in. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Jeffrey Welshon's in Elkins, West Virginia. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. And Peter Jakubowicz is in Citrus County, Florida. Randy Ryer is, he says, go ahead and take a pain pill. We don't mind. No, Randy, you just want me talking out of my head, because that happens all the time. Either I fall asleep or I just talk silly stuff.
That's even without pain pills.
Judy, I set you up for that. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn listening on her Sea Crane radio. Ellen Maria and McHenry. Brian Lafever. Thank goodness Chicago's listening. He's in Bridgeport. Sunny Day. If that's really your name, God bless you. That is the coolest name.
That would have been a great, probably was a great radio name for somebody.
How about a meteorologist?
Yeah.
Sunny day here with the weather. I mentioned Diane Vasquez, and she put together a fabulous fall graphic for us. Thank you, Diane. Mindy Schwab, she said she's happy to hear I'm on the meds. Not tonight. Fred Hussar is in Lyons. Tracy Douglas.
Did she say on the meds or on the mend?
She said meds. Maybe she meant mend. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Ann Hill and Jan Reinhart is listening. She said, use pillows. I am, Jan. I really am. Because part of my problem is sitting. I'm okay. Yeah. It seems when I'm standing and walking around, it's just when I try to sit down that it smarts. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Donna Youngheim and Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg, Jean Jacobson in Milwaukee. Steve Verheeren. Did I mention Stacy? She's always waiting for us to mention her in Algonquin. And Stacy, thank you for tuning in too. And if I missed you, I'll catch you next week.
And I also want to respond to, this is from a 269 area code. I'm not sure where that is. This is from Barbara in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
She says, wondering if you can tell me the name of the radio you used to talk about that allows one to get WGN no matter where you're located. That is the CC Wi-Fi radio. And it's made by the Sea Crane Company. Just go to seacrane.com, look on their website, and look for the CC Wi-Fi radio. We have one of those radios in Chicago and also in Florida. And the short story is, it allows you to tune on your radio to different stations' web streams. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you can do that with your computer, but this makes it a lot easier. You've got a radio, you've got terrific sound from Sea Crane, and you have presets. So you can put WGN on whatever preset and whatever other radio stations you want. And it really, the sound is exceptional.
But I would recommend that she talk to the folks at Sea Crane if she wants a radio to listen to the radio and not the stream. Because she said in her text that she has listened to the stream before, but she wants to listen to the radio.
But she also said that she wanted to hear about the radio that allows one to get WGN no matter where you're located. So that's why I'm thinking that at least look into the Wi-Fi radio.
Right. It's pretty amazing. And it doesn't take up a lot of room either. And it doesn't break the bank.
It's a small radio. And we were out in Munster at my brother's, and setting up the Wi-Fi radio for him, too, and it really works.
Stay with us. We'll be right back here on WGN.
Hey, put me in cold. I'm ready to play. Today, look at me.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. John Fogerty, center field. Baseball, well, the Sox are going for the record. And I'm a longtime White Sox fan. But at this point, they're, one more game and then they tie the record of all-time losses. But I want them to set the record at this point. And I know it's sad. And one of the many things about it, over the past, I want to say roughly the past month.
Right.
The Sox have actually had some really interesting, good game. The game we were watching
Friday night was a great example. 10 innings. They are playing the top-ranked San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
They held them to a big egg zero. They get into the 10th inning. I mean, they were playing some good ball. It was an exciting game.
It was like nothing through about the sixth inning, and then it was tied at two. And
it was fun. And it looked like they were clicking on just everybody was. They were. Sometimes I get frustrated and say, I can't watch this because they're just walking through the motions. They're just not even trying.
But again, I think there has been a change with
with management.
With management or new manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any of the inner workings of what's going on. All I know is it feels better. It seems like they've got more hustle. And I know they're the worst team in – I got it. Yes, they are. But there's a lot of players who are really trying and who look like they're really hustling more than they have been. And sadly, Reinsdorf ain't going to spend a whole lot of money. So what you're seeing there is kind of the nucleus of what we're going to be seeing – next year, and there are some reasons not to think they're going to make the World Series next year, but some reasons for hope for an interesting season.
Yeah. Eric Zorn, who you hear on the Mincing Rascals with John Williams, journalist Eric Zorn, is a White Sox fan. And in his weekly column, he has been devoting some space to what's been happening or not happening with the Sox. And he had a poll, a Sun-Times click poll. The White Sox are closing in on the Major League record for losses, 120 in a season. At this point, are you rooting for them to break it? 81.7% of the people that voted said yes.
Yeah, at this
point. Go ahead.
Because obviously they're out of the playoffs. They're out of everything. Yeah. So you might as well make some kind of a record and then come back next year.
Oh, golly. He does make a good point, though. He said you'll find that a lot of sports media have overlooked what he thinks is a pretty important fact because they're comparing and looking at the record of the Mets.
Right.
And he says the fact that the dreadful Mets play just 160 games means that their record number of losses would probably have been 121 or even 122. To hold the record free and clear, no qualifiers, no caveats, the Sox will have to finish 39 wins, 123 losses.
Okay.
So he's saying if we're going to do it, let's get it in the books where it's all legit so that after the fact somebody says, looks like the Mets were rained out a couple of games where they just didn't even show up. He also mentions an ESPN story, and I clicked on the story, and I have to say the writing is pretty impressive. Just a little bit of the story about the Sox. Nothing compares to the march of doom that is a cursed baseball season. 162 opportunities to plumb the reaches of ineptitude. These White Sox are not powerful, they're not fast, and they field poorly, and they throw recklessly, and they pitch inconsistently, and they bungle fundamentals. They are a bad baseball team. Losing at anything takes a toll. It irradiates self-worth. It evaporates motivation. Wow! This writer had a good time. Athletes in particular spend their entire lives building up psyches strong enough to spare them from the vagaries of failure. Every major league player has been felled and gotten back up. Anyone who reaches the big league has inherently won, which makes this all so diabolical.
I love that. That is send me a link to that.
That's good writing.
Some of my favorite writing has been done by sports writers.
Yes.
By the way, I'm signaling for a turn.
Okay.
We're staying with baseball.
Okay.
But signaling for a turn. Shohei Ohtani.
Oh.
Good Lord.
Ooh. Did you see the video I sent you of his 50th?
But now I think, hasn't he done 51?
But I'm talking about...
You talk about setting new records every time he comes up to the plate. He's extraordinary.
The ball that goes into the stands and the near riot.
As they're all trying to get the ball.
Dive head first. And the camera just happened to... Well, the camera was following that ball when it went into the stands. Head first. They're diving in under the seats and fighting, grabbing, pushing. And finally, a guy stands up and he's clutching it in his paws. And he's like, don't come for it. Don't come for it. Now, wouldn't you give that back to him?
You would think so.
Or sell it back to him
because
season tickets.
I think in a lot of cases, someone from the club will come to the person and say, okay,
we want to offer
Shohei
you. Yeah.
We'll give you a, you know, what would you like from Shohei if you give him that ball?
Do you want tickets to, or do you want another ball? Do you want an autograph? Whatever. I have friends that are at the game tonight to see him, and they specifically went just to see him.
Of course.
My girlfriend said, we don't know anything about baseball. We just know him.
Sure.
And we want to see him.
And one of the other players, and forgive me, I forget his name, but boy, is he fun to watch. Cubs, Crow.
Oh, yes.
The
hyphenated last name.
I apologize for not having his...
I love the fact that he uses both his mother's and his father's name. And his parents are actors that we both knew from soap operas.
Julian, you got it?
Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yes.
Crow Armstrong,
and I apologize for not having his name. But he is something else to watch, too.
Yeah. You did know his folks were from soap operas, right?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think which ones.
We saw his mom on As the World Turns. His dad was on The Young and the Restless. They both went to primetime television, and I think they're both still actors out in Los Angeles. Yeah. I just love the fact that he has a hyphenated last name. That he's recognizing mom as well as dad. Mm-hmm. And he's the only child. And anyway, you're right. He's a fabulous, fabulous player.
More fabulosity coming up. So stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I have no reason for playing that other than I love it and just happened to find it. It's a song that I first heard back in 1962, and it was on a Chicago label called Federal Records. It was Young Guitar Red, and the name of the song was Red Hot Red, and I heard it on some local radio station, not one of the big ones, one of the suburban radio stations, fell in love with it, hunted it out, got a copy of it, have never been able to find it online anyplace, and within the past week, just discovered it.
Didn't you dream it? I thought you woke up with the song in your head, and you said... Have you ever heard the song? And I said, no. And we started searching
It was on the jukebox in my head.
Yeah.
And it's in my vinyl someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to find a copy of it on YouTube. And then we found out that apparently because he did that record in 1962 here in Chicago.
He was still performing in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And if
I don't really know anything about him other than, boy, did I like that record. And I know it's kind of a basic blues pattern, but there's just something about the way he was playing that. I loved it. Get it, Red.
I just think it's funny that you literally woke up. You said, I've got this song in my mind. I woke up with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
I do that a lot.
I don't think of songs when I'm sleeping.
I have a strange jukebox in my head.
You just stop it strange.
Okay.
Okay.
And I will, several times a week, I will wake up and I will have a song playing on the jukebox in my head that I did not hear on the radio. I have no reason why on earth it would be playing on the jukebox in my head, but it is from my archives, and the needle goes there, and I have to seek it out.
Julian, do you dream music like Steve waking up, and there's a song that was playing in his head while he was sleeping?
Constantly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's either that or I'm always visualizing some kind of photo that I want to take, and then I go out and take it.
That's pretty cool. I'm so boring. I wake up and go, I still didn't dream. And I don't. I don't dream. And it bothers me because I think you get more restful sleep when you get into that REM state. Yeah. And I'm wearing my watch that monitors my sleep patterns, and it shows that I go into a REM state. But I must be really unconscious because I wake up and there was nothing. It's a clean slate. I don't have people visiting in my dreams. I don't have music playing.
Well, it was about, I want to say about 3 weeks ago, you told me of some dream you actually remembered, which is a rarity for you.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Okay.
See, I blocked that out.
All right.
And I used to study dreams. I was so into the symbolism in dreams. And I would even have people that I worked with back in the days at the radio station out in Aurora that come to me and say, I have this dream. What do you think this means? And I'd say, okay, sit down. And I put an empty chair in front of them. And I'd say, now you've got to interview yourself about that dream. And that was the technique that I had learned in interviewing yourself, asking yourself questions about that dream. So you have this empty chair pretending like it's you sitting there. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to put you in the frame of mind where you start thinking, okay, I had this dream about, okay, what does that mean to you? How do you feel when you think about that? And so you're supposed to have this realization.
And isn't it true that if you're having a nightmarish dream or a bad dream, and if you can realize that you're having a dream and take control of that dream.
Oh, any dream.
That's a good thing.
A good dream or a bad dream. If you can have awareness, if you can, you are the director of your movies, and your movies are your dreams. So if you can reach in there and say, no, I don't like the way this is going because this is kind of scary. Yeah. So I want to turn this into puppy dogs and roses and
or
do that.
Sometimes I'll be dreaming, thinking something like, I don't like this way. Hey, wait a minute. It's my dream. I can do it. I'm going to fly out of the roof or do whatever.
Oh, listen to you. That's that's huge when you can do that. When you can have that kind of awareness that you are A, dreaming, and B, you have the control to change
and being
that
able to fly and through the roof. I mean,
Well, have you ever left your body while you're dreaming? And look back at yourself dreaming?
Not that I'm aware of.
That should be your goal. No, don't make that your goal. That's a little scary.
No, that sounds like afterlife thing that I'd rather
But seriously, when you're studying dreams, that's one of the things that you do. You have the goal of being able to leave your body to be able to.
Do you ever leave your body when you're dreaming, Julian?
No, that sounds terrifying.
No, as I said to Steve, try that. I was like, no, second thought, don't do that.
I had a night terror once, and I never want that again.
Oh, did you just wake up sweating because you realized it was so scary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, I have memories of dreams, but I'm not sure if they were dreams or if they were reality. Because one time I said to my mom, you know, I had this dream all the time when I was a kid of this woman who was a witch that lived on the same floor that we lived on. And she said, oh, no, we did have a witch that lived on our floor. And I was like, what?
Okay.
I wasn't dreaming that. And we had a witch that lived on the floor. And she was a scary woman that left her door open. And every time you walked by, she would, ah, What are you doing, young'uns?
I think it's time for us to take a break. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Hey, that's Gruen to Mrs. Robinson.
This seems so tame for our guest, Tom.
This is one of Tom's tunes.
Yes.
Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. So what is tonight's theme, Tom?
Tonight's theme is crazy covers.
Crazy covers.
Okay. Exclamation point.
And that was doing Mrs. Robinson?
A piano player extraordinaire, Ray Bryant, covering Mrs. Robinson off his 1968 album, Up Above the Rocks.
I'm going to do an audible.
Mm-hmm.
How are you talking into the microphone, Tom? Because we're getting...
Exactly as I'm supposed to be.
Because we're getting a lot of... ambient room noise.
It's kind of like you're in the basement.
Weird. I don't know what would do that.
Yes. We love this new setup, so we're not relying on a telephone to talk with Tom. Maybe pull your microphone a little closer to you.
Okay. I am right on top of it.
Okay. That's better.
And I think there's a different setting that we're going to have to it's getting too technical. On the side of the microphone, there is a control where you can control how wide the sound is, and you need to narrow it into your mouth, and then swallow the microphone.
That's the technical term for it, right? Well, we have a lot to cover here because he was supposed to be with us last week, but we weren't here last week, and things happened. Tom, first things first, let's talk a little bit about recalls. And one of the big recalls we talked about over the summer was the Toyota engine recall, and that was for Tundras and the Lexus, right? The Lexus LX
600? This was a case of they weren't just fixing something, you were getting a whole new engine. So what's the latest on that?
Jim at 608 area code said, have you heard anything about the fact that they're making new engines to put in our vehicles?
Well, that's the problem. They've got to come up with 100,000 more engines, and you've got an assembly line that's basically geared up for regular production. So they're going to have to accumulate a lot of extra engines to get the ball rolling on this. I think they're about ready to start. I did just hear a fun number. Toyota's cost on each engine, $19,000. That's Toyota's cost on each installation.
Wow.
And that does not include labor.
So multiply $19,000 by how many vehicles?
100,000.
100,000.
Yes.
Plus 25 hours of labor.
25 hours of labor?
I confirmed that because I had heard lighter numbers. I'd first heard about 8 hours, so a full day, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But I got a number from Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, those folks, and they're saying 25 hours, so 3 full days.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's if you are one of the folks that are affected by this.
And again, let's back up for a second for anybody new to the conversation. The problem was that in the manufacturing process, there's like little bits of stuff that are kind of getting
debris
stuck in the engine, and that could cause problems.
Yeah, and it's the sort of thing we used to hear about like in the 70s and 80s, and it's not something you hear about much. And often that stuff, if there is shavings or other metal residue, it gets caught in the filter and it's trapped and it's safe that way. But for some reason, metal filings are finding their way into the main bearings, which will cripple an engine. There's not a lot you can do about it. So replacing is the best way to go because you don't know what else might have been damaged as the shavings made their way to wherever they did do damage. So I guess we can call this an abundance of caution, but the engines are being replaced entirely.
And if this is news to you, this was the big story this summer. It was the 2022 and 23 model year of the Toyota Tundra and the Lexus LX 600s, all regular powered vehicles, right, Tom? No hybrids involved in this.
The hybrids are not involved. And yeah, there isn't a hybrid version of the Lexus yet. So it's just the the lower trim levels of the Tundra.
Off the top of your head, do you recall any other manufacturers in a similar position where they had to replace a whole darn engine?
Yeah, and people may not remember this, but way back when Saturn was new, 1990, they made a terrible mistake, and the Saturn Ion, or I'm sorry, the Saturn SL, which was the only Saturn at the time when the brand launched, launched with the wrong coolant in it, and the coolant, that the incorrect coolant was having a reaction with the block of the car, and it was hard to know what the damage was, so they just decided to replace those cars, the whole car.
Hmm. Okay. Well, other recalls that we need to know about?
There's a major General Motors recall, I believe.
Like 450,000 vehicles are affected in General Motors. Some new model Escalades and Tahoes. Is this the low brake fluid warning light, Tom?
Yeah, and this is an interesting one because as far as bad news goes, it's not very bad news. But the problem is that the sensor that should let you know as a driver that your brake fluid is low isn't engaging. So you wouldn't know that your brake fluid was low until it was too late. So the good news, there's two pieces of good news here. One is that this can be fixed. It's a software issue, so it can be fixed over the air. So owners of these vehicles will not have to go to the dealership. And the other piece of good news is if you're worried about this, you can just pop the hood. They do use a clear oil brake fluid reservoir, so you can actually see if your brake fluid is low. So you can just pop the hood, look. If it's fine, it's probably going to stay fine, and you can wait for the over-the-air update.
And do we have any idea how soon the over-the-air update will be available?
Let's see. People are going to be notified towards the end of October, and I think it'll happen pretty shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about over-the-air updates. We have a vehicle that we got about 2 years ago, and it gets a lot of updates over-the-air. And I see a lot of people complaining about the process to update it, and some people are saying, well, I just hit start the update, and then I go in, and I come back, and the update is kludged or something like that. Anytime I've had one of these updates, I've said, okay, do the update. I stay in the car and leave the car running while the update is going on. And it may take 15, 20 minutes or something like that. My thought has always been, you don't run the risk of any battery problems or something like that causing the update to get kludged. Any thoughts on that? Is that a good thing? Am I wasting gas? If you're getting an over-the-air update, what is the best way to make sure that you, as with a computer, that you're paying attention to what's going on and the update is going to be delivered the way it's supposed to?
That's a great question, Stephen. I don't know the answer, but I do have a sense that you're going to feel a lot better about it because you know it happened. Mm-hmm. And I do know that with my phone, I think updates have happened and they haven't, which is a bit frustrating. So, yeah, I think you're doing the best thing because you can go after this. You can go actively after it if the update doesn't take place. And it is interesting, too, now that we have cars that would have just gone obsolete after a few years, and things like the navigation system would have gotten old, or the infotainment system wouldn't get little errors with that wouldn't get fixed. But now they get updated, which is pretty cool, really.
And again, as we've talked, you're basically, these days, you're driving a computer on wheels.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a lot of updates. That's just the nature of the digital beast that you're now being transported in. And one other thing before we take a break, and there's a lot of stuff we have to cover, but we talk a lot about recalls with Tom. The mere fact that a vehicle is being recalled doesn't mean that this is a cruddy, lousy manufacturer. No, it means, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, it means that in today's market, they're paying attention to everything. So if anything goes wrong with any little part, there will be a recall. And every manufacturer is doing this. So it's not the mere fact that manufacturer X says, okay, here's a multi-thousand vehicle recall. That doesn't mean they're a bad manufacturer. It means that they're paying attention and they're giving you the information as they have it and doing a recall for it.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things, too, we may see more recalls, and I'm using air quotes here, simply because cars are more software-driven now, and there are software errors that take place, and they're harder and harder to debug. So to some extent, everything we drive is a beta test to some small degree, and there will be things that need to get fixed. Often the fixes are very small, but they do need to be made, and it's just the kind of world we live in now.
Before we take a break, Tom, a listener says, how can I find out if my car is subject to a recall? Is the best thing to go to the NHTSA site, the NHTSA, and put in your VIN number, and if there is a recall, it's going to come up there?
You can do that, and you can also go to your brand, the website of the brand, the vehicle you drive, and there's usually somewhere, it's usually to the right and all the way down to the bottom, you can find out if your vehicle is being recalled as well.
Okay, good news. We're talking with Tom Appel. We're talking cars. Got a lot to cover with him, so stay with us on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I kind of like that. That's one of Tom's tunes. Tom, who is that and what is that?
That is Classical Gas as interpreted by the California Guitar Trio. That's off their album Pathways from 1998. And if people have seen that band's name recently, they have been touring and opening for King Crimson. So they're out there on the road.
Cool. I would like to see them. I would like most things that I've heard from them.
But every time I hear Classical Gas, I think of Tommy Emmanuel.
Yeah.
And in his version of Classical Gas. Yeah, Tom's music tonight is cool covers of tunes like Classical Gas.
The blatant plug light has just started flashing. So, Tom, if people want to check out consumerguide.com, how do they do it and what will they find?
Yeah, the website is consumerguide.com. Just go there. You can check out my reviews. If you're not interested in new cars right now, just go to our blog because all sorts of fun stuff there. I cover the news. I cover the business end. I try to have fun. And I write a lot about old classical advertising, too, which I think will amuse a lot of people.
Yes, some good stuff. What are you driving these days? Because I haven't seen any pictures of any cool cars you're driving.
I am driving a literal monster right now, and it's kind of cool. I am driving the 2024 Wrangler Rubicon 392 Final Edition.
What? The Wrangler Rubicon
392.
Okay.
Final Edition.
Final Edition.
The 392 is the bigger engine. So this is the big 6.4-liter Hemi, 480 horsepower in this application. And the reason it's a Final Edition is that Jeep and Ram are getting away from V8 engines, and they're going to a new series of Hurricane six-cylinder engines. So this is kind of the end of the road for the V8. Now, we do know that they are going to build the Final Edition for one more year, so it's not that final. yeah, there's going to be a 2025 version of this. I guess it's popular. But the price tag is rough. It's $110,000.
Hello.
Whoa!
Yeah, a lot for a Wrangler. You get a lot of equipment, you get a lot of power, but I think they price it this way intentionally to kind of limit sales because fuel economy, not good.
Okay, for example, fuel economy average would be what?
The EPA combined is 14.
How?
And the city number is 13, so that's a little
what?
Rough.
And let me guess, you need premium fuel.
You do.
Oh.
Yes, good call.
Ouch.
Okay.
Or bad call. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's rough.
But I guess if you can pay $110,000 for a Wrangler, you're like, so what? I have to buy premium.
Okay, and when we're talking Jeep, how off-roady is it?
This is the Rubicon, so it is very, very off-roady. Very big wheels and tires, lots of ground clearance, and all the power in the world to get over stuff. If the apocalypse was coming, you might want to put money down on one of these.
This
might get you through it.
Or if, for the next few days, if you wanted to drive on DeSable Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, that's what you need. Gosh. Comfortable for you?
It is. You know, it's funny. Wranglers are a little... I'm a very, very big guy, and I find myself a little confined in the front mm-hmm. of a Wrangler. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I tend to prefer the Ford Bronco, vehicle with a very similar mission, but more front seat space. But other than that, this is a very nice riding and handling, for what it is, very mm-hmm. nice riding and handling vehicle. It does ride a little bit choppy, but the steering is great. The power is unbelievably available. The car is just fast. Very fast for a Wrangler, almost silly fast.
But speaking of Jeep, what's the latest with the Stellantis? And are they having some union problems, I believe, because they have not been fulfilling their promise to build some vehicles here in Illinois, for example, and I think some other places, too. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, the Belvedere situation is interesting because it's getting a little bit ugly. And I think by now we were supposed to have word of when they were going to start that up. And what they were going to build in Belvedere was a plug-in hybrid midsize pickup, which sounds pretty specific. But Stellantis could use a midsize pickup, but that market got a little flooded. And there's a lot of good product in there already. So there seemed to be backing off of that. They were also supposed to be building a battery manufacturing plant near Belvedere, mm-hmm. so that campus is going to expand. But all of that's on hold, and I think the earliest date we're talking about anything happening there now is 2027, and the union says that part of the deal that they just signed late last year was for that stuff to be up and running fairly soon. So this could get ugly. We'll see if they decide to strike or not. Hopefully they won't. I mean, Stellantis is hoping to build whatever they can build. But if they don't see the market for something, it's rough to go ahead and build it anyway.
Well, speaking of manufacturing, just before we break for news, what's the latest with General Motors and Hyundai?
What a crazy story. We had Jamie Butters, who's the executive editor of Automotive News, on our podcast this week. And he doesn't have any inside information on what this deal could mean. But for people who don't know, Hyundai and General Motors, fourth and fifth largest manufacturer of vehicles in the world, have signed a letter of intent to cooperate on stuff moving forward with the intention of saving development costs. But this could be as little as just working on battery packs together, and it could be extensive as building vehicles in each other's plants. So this could be huge. It's probably going to come short of a merger, but if it was a merger, it would make them the largest automaker in the world. So this is a very big deal with a lot of potential. No one seems to know what it really means.
More automotive goodies with Tom Appel. So stay with us. We're going to take a break. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I know this. I love this. This is one of Tom's tunes. And, Tom, you want to explain who this is and what this is?
Yeah, this is Wes Montgomery covering the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby. And the crazy thing about this is he recorded this and released it only 4 months after Sgt. Pepper came out. Oh. So he really liked this tune.
It's really sweet. I've never heard that.
Oh, it's one of my favorite tracks. Hmm. And Wes Montgomery... his signature was basically playing melody in octaves, and just a great. And he didn't use a pick, so you're hearing just his thumb and the octave notes that he's hitting, and just a brilliant musician.
And that's would you say that's like 50 years old now?
Oh, probably at least.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
sounds 67.
It sounds so fresh. It really is nice.
If you want to get a great Wes Montgomery album, I'm trying to think of the name of it. Well, just do a search for Wes Montgomery, and it's an album that he recorded live at a club in Indianapolis.
Hmm.
And it's a wonderful, great evening of live jazz at this club with Wes Montgomery. It's really, really good. Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Steve. I was just going to say that you had mentioned that he was doing that, his style, and I've watched videos about this, and I don't understand it. I just know that he's a genius. I don't know why.
Thank you.
I'll have to show it. Next time we see you, I'll grab a guitar, and I'll show you what he's doing, because
cool.
It's really, really interesting.
Hmm.
We're talking with Tom Appel about all kinds of car stuff. And you mentioned the Jeep you're driving. What are some of the other vehicles you've driven recently or are looking forward to driving?
I'm looking forward. I have the Subaru Solterra, which is Subaru's first and only electric vehicle, and that comes next week. And I have a lot of driving to do, so I will be testing the range on that vehicle, but I'm looking forward to that. And I just finished my review of a surprising vehicle that makes me wish people still bought cars. I drove the Hyundai Elantra Limited Hybrid. And going back through my notes and finally writing the review, I just realized that this is an outstanding vehicle. It's a very conventional hybrid. It's not a plug-in, anything like that. But for $32,000, you get a near-luxury little car with great mileage, reasonable performance, a really nice interior, great ride and handling. It's the perfect commuter car. It really is. And at $32,000, it's everything you would want in a car very affordably.
And that's the 2024 Hyundai Elantra Hybrid Limited.
Yep.
And if you go to consumerguide.com, and you can just click on that, and it will take you to the review. Nice pictures. Ooh, what's the color? Oh, I like the color of that, too. That's a nice...
That's a good-looking car. What is the color on that? That is ultimate red.
Not just red.
But... Ultimate red.
Yes.
It is very deep. It's a very good-looking color. It looks expensive.
I want to segue for a second to something that is near and dear to my heart. And yes, we have a horse in this race, but it's an important thing that just came out this past week. The National Association of Broadcasters made a major statement on a committee markup and passage of the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. What do you know about this?
I guess what happened now, it left committee and it's officially a bill and it goes to the House. So this is good news. And it was super popular. It was like it passed 46-2. So it seems like this is going to happen. So if you want AM radio in your car, it looks like that's about to become law. Not about, it'll probably take forever, but it will eventually become law. So that's the good news there.
And for people who are wondering, well, why do I want AM radio in my car? Because when all the digital stuff goes down, you still want your local AM radio station to guide you through an emergency situation.
And all it takes is one instance where everything goes down. And you say, well, when does that ever happen? Let me give us an example. Wildfires in California.
Yep.
My girlfriend was living in Santa Rosa, California. Everything around her was burning. She had no idea what was going on around her, except for the fact that she dug out her radio that she grew up listening to the Cubs on that transistor, and she was able to pick up the San Francisco radio station and found out what was happening. Because everything else, no cell service, no television, she had to find out what was going on, and that was the only way to do it.
And for those of you who say, oh, but the sound of AM radio isn't as good as FM, that ain't your radio station's problem. That is the fault of the automotive manufacturers who aren't willing to spend the extra,
$5?
$5 or something for the chip that would allow you to receive the sound quality that we're putting out.
So take that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there, too. And manufacturers, for a bunch of reasons, are trying to weasel out of things that they don't want to pay for anymore. And part of AM radio's lack of appeal to manufacturers isn't sound quality related. It isn't even the hardware. It's that it takes up space on the infotainment system, and they have to manage that. And you use radio differently than you use, like, satellite radio or anything that you might Bluetooth connect to. So they just want to drop it because it's easier. That's the actual truth.
Yeah. And we will have, within the next day or so, we're going to put up a link that will have a site that you can contact Congress, and you can say, I want AM radio in my car. Here's why. We'll put up links. It'll be on our Facebook page. We'll put it on our blog, so we'll make that available to you.
So, Tom, you mentioned hybrids a moment ago, the one that you're going to be driving. Listener says, speaking of hybrids, the 4Runner, there's talk of a 4Runner hybrid in 2025. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, and it's going to be an extension of the engine that's already in there. Toyota makes an excellent 3.4 liter V6 that they're doing a lot with. And right now, there's a conventional hybrid, and then there's a turbocharged hybrid. So there's a lot going on there, but we will see performance hybrid versions of almost everything in the Toyota lineup.
Really?
Yeah. And, the Camry. This is a piece of news. For 2025, the Camry, one of the best-selling cars in America still, 100% hybrid models for next year.
100%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no non-hybrid Camry anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's
the
still...
The price goes up a little bit, but yeah. You will get the fuel economy.
And it's still ranked one of the most popular cars in America?
Yeah, I think... Wow, was it a year ago or 2 years ago? It still did 300,000 units. So it's still incredibly popular, and especially popular for a car.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just Toyota, or aren't most manufacturers backing away a little from all electric and segueing back to hybrids because they're finding that there's more acceptance of hybrids than there is of just shifting immediately to electric vehicles?
Yeah, it's funny. When the electric thing popped up, the industry thought that there was all this interest in electric vehicles, and there sort of was. And I don't know what happened and how COVID changed things. And maybe it was just the cost, the reality of charging, whatever. But the public got cold feet when it came to electric vehicles. And we see now that people had predicted for 2024 that we would achieve 10% EV by the end of the year. It's going to be more like 8.5%. The sales rate is still growing, but it has slowed. And I think that electric became the new technology to be afraid of, and hybrid kind of became conventional and normal. So people are embracing hybrid, and part of the reason, too, is that hybrid doesn't cost that much more than a conventional car anymore. And the systems are proven, and they're just as reliable as their non-hybrid counterparts, and the fuel economy is a very real, I think, tangible benefit. So we're seeing a lot of consumers choose hybrid now.
And I'll go back to one of our favorite vehicles for the past 10 years, the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid. What a terrific vehicle that is.
Yeah, and you get a lot of range out of that. You get close to 40 miles of EV range, and it's perfect for people who use a minivan as a family. Like, they run out, they do errands all day and all week, and you can just run on electricity. 40 miles is a lot for people who stay in town or in the neighborhood. And then on the weekend, you still have this great V6 that moves you around, so you can go on a long trip and not worried about plugging in. So it is really the best of both worlds. They get a little bit expensive, but they're very good.
We're going to take a break, and more coming up with Tom Appel, and we're talking cars, so stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of Tom's tunes, Tom Appel from Consumer Guide.
I know the tune, but who is this, Tom?
That is Milt Jackson. On the vibraphone, and it's a cover of Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder.
It works perfectly on the vibes.
It does. It sounds great.
And you don't hear vibes often enough. I probably told the story before. The time I was in a band, we were competing in this downbeat jazz contest, and it was so much fun because it was drums, stand-up bass, I played guitar, and vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a fun group.
My best friend, when I was in grade school, her dad was a professional vibraphonist. And so that was his gig. And he moved to Chicago just to be able to play vibes for bands in Chicago. And so he had these vibes set up in the house, and we got to play with them. And he said, you won't hurt them. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. So that was kind of cool.
I'm sure somebody has done this, but if they haven't, somebody should get a bunch of vibraphonists together and do good vibrations.
Oh, yes. We're talking about radios and cars, AM radios, and Don says, I want a CD in my car, too. I want a CD player. And his 2010 Volvo had a great-sounding AM radio. I don't doubt that. And when we were regularly road-testing vehicles, we would make a point of thanking manufacturers when they still included a CD slot.
In fact, what was the one that was it the Lexus? Oh, I'm trying to think which one. And they did, in fact, have a CD slot. Yeah, because yep. You've still got a lot of people that have CDs. Now, you can get the small CD players that you can USB into mm-hmm. one of the connections on your car.
But that's as cumbersome as the old days when you got a magazine where you'd have to load them and put them in your glove box. Remember that?
Well, we still have our 2005 Cadillac DeVille DTS, and it has that magazine.
Oh, it does?
Where we can... Johan, that's the car we drove in tonight. and you can load six CDs, and so
I didn't know that.
That car also, okay, blatant plug, 2005, Cadillac DeVille, DTS, not only the CD magazine, but one of the best Bose sound systems of mm-hmm. any car we have ever driven. Not just because we own the car, but it's one of the many reasons we bought that car and still keep that car.
Yep.
Great sound system.
And I can't hear the word Bose without thinking of Paul Harvey and the commercials he did for the Bose radio.
Yeah, the Bose Wave.
Yeah. Tom, Don also says that, it wasn't Don. Forgive me. I got to switch around here. 312-981-7200. The number that folks have asked questions of Tom. Do you recommend the Costco Auto program for buying a car? Do you know anything about it?
I don't know very much about it, but what I know is that people are very, very happy with it. And it's a little bit like one price shopping. Costco will set you up if you're in the program. You have to be a member of Costco. They will set you up with a dealership, and that dealership will offer you a one price on that vehicle.
Oh.
People I know, including people who are really good at buying stuff, like my brother-in-law, very happy with the program. They've done it more than once. The program seems to work very well. The price seems to be fair, and then you don't have to haggle. It's very nice. So the people I know are very happy. Part of the limitation is that there are some vehicles, perhaps they're very popular, that this won't apply to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of take what you can get, but it seems like most cars are available.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as a Costco. But then again, I shouldn't be surprised because you can go there and buy like $20,000 wedding rings.
Yeah.
So, of course, you should be able to buy a car, too.
Weren't they doing something, I could be wrong, but weren't they doing something like the Sears used to do where you could actually buy a house?
Probably.
I think they would set you up with a contractor. There's a lot of crazy stuff. You walk around Costco, and you can leave with a box of Mike and Ike's, a huge, like, 20-gross box of Mike and Ike's, and a Rolex from the same store.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes. You can buy deodorant that would last you for the rest of your life and that $20,000 diamond ring. Sure.
Yeah.
Tom, before we run out of time, there's something, I don't know if you have anything to do with it, but we wanted to mention this, the Chicago Auto Show History Show coming up in Romeoville?
Yeah, this is put together by Chicago historian Mitch Frumkin. And for people who don't know Mitch was good friends with Jim Matea of the Chicago Tribune. And Mitch and Jim had put together a book called The First 100 Years of the Chicago Auto Show. So it's a great book if you ever just need to have some sort of reference about the Chicago Auto Show. But Mitch has put together this 45-minute presentation. He calls it multimedia. I have not previewed it, so I don't know about it, but I know Mitch, and it's going to be good. But it's at the Romeo Public Library coming up on the 25th at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's worth knowing about. Also, they're giving away a free pair of tickets to one lucky attendee.
Yes.
The Chicago Auto Show.
Tickets to the Chicago Auto Show and products from Turtle Wax will be available. So again, it's at the Romeoville Library on the 25th at 6:30 in the evening. And the library is 201 West Normantown Road in Romeoville, Illinois. I think it's a great idea.
And speaking of Jim Matea,
yes.
We've only got about 2 minutes left, but wanted to mention, and Jim Matea, for anybody who doesn't know, a dear friend, sadly passed away a few years ago. He was the automotive writer for the Chicago Tribune. He was really one of the main founders of the Midwest Automotive Media Association. And, Tom, can you tell us a little bit about the Jim Matea Scholarship and how people could help and what it does?
Yeah, the James L. Mateo Scholarship at Northwestern University at the Medill School of Journalism. We put this together shortly after Jim's death in honor of Jim. Jim was an incredibly great guy. He was a serious journalist. He was really worried about the future of automotive journalism. And this is to honor him and his passion for the industry. But we have raised over the years about $107,000. And what this means is that every year the professors from that school get to pick one student, one journalism student, doesn't have to be an automotive journalism student, to receive $4,000 or $5,000 towards whatever they need to do with it. So it's a scholarship, it's in Jim's name. And if you're looking for some place to put some money, this is an absolutely great place. They're still open to taking donations. You can just get a hold of Northwestern and they will take care of you. But we would love to see that scholarship grow.
Is there any website where people listening to us right now could go, from the MAMA website or Consumer Guide or anything like that?
I believe there's information at mamaonline.org.
Right. And Matea is spelled M-A-T-E-J-A. And my favorite Jim Matea story was the fact that he drove into the Tribune Tower every day from Gurnee. Yep. And so he was so particular about his cup holders. Yep. Oh, it had to be big enough to get him a ginormous cup of coffee to get him to the Tribune Tower. And he had that kind of clout. I mean,
am I overstating it? Wasn't he one of the reasons that Chrysler started putting all the cup holders in their minivans?
That is apocryphal, but probably true.
Yes.
In fact, I would lean towards that being true.
Yes. Oh, golly. I can still see him walking up from Lower Wacker just looking like the morning after the night before.
Yep.
Yes, and we loved him dearly.
He looked kind of like, the detective with the trench coat.
Yes.
Columbo?
Columbo.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Tom, thank you as always, and folks can follow you, and you got your podcast, and you've got your blog and all that good stuff, and you're very active on Facebook, too.
Go to consumerguide.com, and they can follow you on Twix if they choose to.
Yep, Car Guy Tom on Twitter, yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye now.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. That is our friend, the late Duane Eddy. You never guessed the name of that song.
Nightly News.
Nightly News. I don't know what that had to do with Nightly News, but...
But it's appropriate because we wanted to say hey to James Sears, who does the Nightly News on WGN Radio Monday through Friday. Right, James?
That's right. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How did we get lucky to have you popping in here tonight?
Gabe's mom is getting married, so yes. We did a little shift switch.
Nice. Yes. I saw the pictures. Gabe put up pictures of his mama at her wedding today, which is really sweet. So you guys, you flipped. He took a couple of your nights, and you took his Friday, Saturday night?
Yeah, we do this every once in a while. You know, that way we don't lose any hours. We can just switch days.
Good.
And
yeah.
You know, it's fun every once in a while to come in on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Nightly News, I wanted to ask you about something that you posted on Facebook. It was some pictures of you in a former life as a news anchor with your co-anchor up in Alaska. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. My first on-air job was up in Alaska and back in 2007. She's a correspondent for a cable station now, a TV station, and she was in Chicago last weekend, so we met up, and it was the first time we had met up since my wedding, so it had been long overdue.
So what market were you working at in Alaska?
So Anchorage, Alaska is a market 150 out of like 200 across the country, so definitely a place you can go to, you know, get started and get a little bit wet there.
But you got to look at it this way. You are kind of a big fish in that pond because they rely on their news.
Yeah.
And they don't have a whole lot of choices, right, James?
Yeah, that's right. And you cover pretty much the whole state
yeah.
Out of Anchorage, Alaska. And at the time, back in 2007, this is when, you know, we didn't have all the resources that we do now. We maybe had the AP wires, but mm-hmm. if there were any like local stories, we had to like go there and get it.
Yeah. Why? Well, I have to ask you, speaking of local Alaska stories, do you recall ever running any stories about a friend of ours, Fran Tate, from what was then Barrow, Alaska?
No, I never made it up to Barrow.
Well, she became legendary, especially in the Chicago area, because we called up to Barrow one night. We were looking for the coldest spot in the country.
Because it was a cold night in Chicago. And we thought,
it's got to be colder someplace else.
And somebody said, well, Barrow, we found out Barrow, Alaska was the coldest place. So we called up and said, okay, who do we talk to? And we called the police department up there, and they said, you got to talk to Fran Tate.
Like, the police officer said, I'm the wrong person to talk to. She knows everything about this town. So we called over to her restaurant, Pepe's North of the Border, a Mexican restaurant, white tablecloth restaurant in Barrow, Alaska. And it had been closed for a couple of hours, but she's there doing her book. She picks up the phone. She was such a delightful human being that she became a regular on our show.
And it turns out that she'd gone up to Alaska to work on the pipeline as an engineer. When she got to Barrow, she found out they didn't have any good restaurants, so she started their first restaurant, first really high-quality restaurant. They also didn't have a good working sewage system.
So she started the sewage system in Barrow, Alaska.
It was called Elephant Pot Sewage.
Right.
And she became a regular fixture on our show, and our listeners started sending her gifts. She was the kind of person that could never take anything from anybody. So she called us and she said, I want to do something to pay your listeners back. What's your favorite charity? And we said Children's Memorial Hospital. At her own expense, she flew down from Barrow, Alaska, dressed up as the Easter Bunny. We took her around to the kids at Children's Memorial Hospital, and she passed out gifts to them.
That she bought. Literally, James, I'm not kidding. We're talking like 500 stuffed bunnies.
Wow.
She bought them her own money, and then in this suit, she walked from room to room to room, and we walked behind her pulling a wagon with these bunnies.
And if you want to see her sometime, do a YouTube search for Fran Tate, Johnny Carson Tonight Show. She was on The Tonight Show. She's the only guest that Johnny Carson actually canceled all of the rest of his guests for, because his producer, Fred Cordova, had read about her in a Wall Street Journal article. They got her on the show. She comes out, and she brought a gift for Johnny.
Yes, a baleen.
Do you know what a baleen is?
Did you ever hear what a baleen was, James?
Something to do with a whale?
Yes. It's a very important part of the male whale. And so when she gifted Johnny Carson with a baleen,
he was on the floor.
That was it. It was the rest was history. He canceled his guest, and he said, she's just too much. Well, I've got to keep talking to her. And we found out over time, Alaska has some really colorful characters. She was just one of a whole lot of people up there that are a little different.
Did you like your time up in Anchorage?
I did. And yeah, speaking of artsy people, Anchorage, I did not expect it to be such an artsy town. There are like bright murals everywhere, these quirky little shops you can just pop into. It was pretty cool up there.
So, where had you lived before you went to Anchorage?
Here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chicago to Anchorage, boy, there's a... Wow!
Yeah, I loved it up there in the summertime. So it was great when we had so much sunlight. The sun would be setting when I finished my 10 o'clock news. The sun would just be setting behind the mountains.
Wow.
It was cool.
So how long did you stay there?
Almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met my wife. So glad I went up there. Everything worked out great. It was like fate to go up there.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to ask, how did you meet your wife?
MySpace.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. She actually did a search for someone in her zip code, just like a search for new friends. I forget what the feature was called.
Uh-huh.
But then I popped up, and I had a picture of me in an igloo in Anchorage, It was something they set up. Nobody lives in igloos, but it was me in like an igloo in the middle of like the town square. And so she just friend requested me, and then I added her back and invited her to lunch. I said, hey, you want to meet up sometime? Because her picture looked really cute too. So, and then four, that's that.
Four babies later.
Four babies and a dog later. Yep, here we are.
The rest is history.
And I always look forward to Halloween at your house with your four kids because they love Halloween, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah.
Are they already talking about what they're going to wear?
Not yet. But the
well, I'm already decorating, so if they start tomorrow, cut them some slack. Yeah, it's Halloween. It's fall as of today.
And are you going to do a Halloween tree?
A Halloween tree?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, we do a Halloween tree. Actually, we do two Halloween trees. I'll have to send you pictures.
Okay.
But of course, what will happen is your children will see it and say, Dad, why don't we have a Halloween tree?
Is it just candy up on a tree? Or
No. I have these fabulous decorations. It's covered with pumpkins. It's covered with ghosts. And then you take that spider webbing that you can buy where you stretch the cotton out.
It looks so cool.
And you just wrap the tree in spider webs, and you've got spiders hanging on it. And so
see,
I have
James, you may not know that we keep a year-round, basically it's a Christmas tree, but Johnny changes it according to the season.
Oh, okay.
Every month I change it. And in fact, September is like the most boring one because I do back to school and nobody else gets excited about school supplies the way I do. And I'm like, wait, there are new erasers hanging on that tree. Come on.
But the Halloween tree is one next to Christmas. The Halloween tree is my favorite.
Halloween tree is very nice. The Valentine's tree is pretty cool, though, because I have heart lights on it, and I can set the heart lights so from outside you can see the tree beating like a big heart. It just beats. And of
course, neighbors think we're very strange, James.
And that's okay. It keeps them on their toes because they think we're really weird. So
that's all right.
No, that's right, because then either they keep their distance or we become friends because they like weird.
There you go.
Yes. Well, it's a pleasure to have you around. You're here tonight, and then your regular shift is Sunday night through Friday, right?
Yeah, I'm taking off Sunday night, though, but I will be back Monday night.
All right. James Sears in the newsroom. You hear him Monday through Friday. And yes, Gabe's mom got married, so he'll have to tell us next week. We started a little feature with Gabe a couple of weeks ago.
Sports Between the Sheets.
Because he's such a big sports fan. He lives and breathes sports, in particular the Bears. So with the Bears now playing, we said, Gabe will give you a couple minutes to do a little sports between the sheets. So we'll get back to that next week with him on the radio.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Brings back memories of a good life when this love was not so warm.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Love that song. That's Paul Davis and Cool Night. And I think Julian hadn't heard that before. You were kind of grooving to that.
Well, I was jamming along to that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a really, really good song.
And we fell down the Paul Davis rabbit hole the other night, and I said, yeah, but what about this song, Sweet Life?
Yeah.
And we played Sweet Life, and it's basically Cool Night.
Yeah, it's the same lyrics. kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
By the way, we should mention, too, we were talking about Fran Tate.
Yeah.
Our dear, dear friend. And for those of you who don't know, sadly, Fran passed away 7 years ago this month.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been dealing with some diabetic problems, and there had been a fire at her restaurant.
Which destroyed Pepe's north of the border.
Yeah.
And after that, she just had a really hard time with everything. She was a workaholic. That's why we could call her at 3 o'clock in the morning. And after working a 14, 15-hour day in the restaurant, she was still at the restaurant.
And when she wasn't at the restaurant, she was doing her radio show, Jazz Below Zero.
On KBRW.
Yeah.
And there was a television show called Northern Exposure. If Northern Exposure had not hit the airwaves, the Fran Tate story would have been made into a television show, because she was still, up until the day she passed away, she was still getting paid because she had sold her story.
And initially, Dolly Parton was supposed to play her. And I want to say she'd, I think it was Columbia had contracted for the rights for a TV show. But when they did that, it was too close to Northern Exposure, so they wanted to give it a little time.
So that's why they kept paying her, because they said, well, someday we're going to make this television show, whether it's Dolly Parton, we don't know, because once Northern Exposure is behind us, and Northern Exposure was wildly popular, but I think the story of Fran Tate's life would have been just as popular, because she was a hoot and a half.
I will never forget, true story, we told you that Fran, at her own expense, flew down from Barrow, Alaska, dressed up as the Easter Bunny. We took her around to distribute gifts to the kids at Children's Memorial Hospital. And there was one day, and I swear this is a true story, as the Easter Bunny, she's going to the different rooms. And this was before you had to have permission. I mean, she...
Before the HIPAA rules.
Thank you. I was trying to think of that. And she went into this one room, and there were a bunch of kids, but there was one kind of sitting over all by himself. And somebody told her that he was a Hispanic kid. Well, the Easter Bunny hops over to this Hispanic kid and starts talking to him in his language.
So she spoke very fluent Spanish.
It was one of those moments that, there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Right. And again, she's wearing a fur suit with a ginormous papier-mâché head that she carried on the plane on an Alaska airline. She carried it in her lap for fear that something would happen to it. This ginormous head.
After a day of her hopping around Children's Memorial Hospital, we had to wring her out.
The clothes were soaked, because when she pulled off that suit, it was unbelievable how hard she had worked. And not just walking. And she was in her 70s at that time.
Yeah.
She was hopping down the halls so that a child would see her and think they were actually seeing the Easter Bunny. A listener asked, wasn't there a book about her? There was a book, and I checked on Amazon, and you can get a used copy of the book about her.
The book is called Tacos on the Tundra:
The Story of Pepe's North of the Border. And for $6.29, you can get a used copy of the book, Tacos on the Tundra.
It's a great read.
And there's a great picture of Fran on the cover of the book. She writes in the in the book about the five husbands that she outlived.
Yep.
And if you knew Fran, you realize she probably wore them out and they just fell over dead, because she was truly the everybody bunny. I mean, we were a lot younger back in the day, and it was hard to keep up with her. And one of the most fun nights we ever had, or weekends, in fact, was going to the Monterey Jazz Festival, because she had been going since 1960, and that was really her getaway from Alaska. She would go to the Monterey Jazz Festival, and she invited us to join her out there, and I was so tired after that weekend. I came home. I was like, I don't know if I can work. She has run us ragged. What a wonderful human being. Tacos on the Tundra, The Story of Pepe's North of the Border. If you'd like to get your hands on the book, there are a few copies available. In fact, you'd get them in the mail in the next day or two on Amazon.
I'm doing a quick search. If you want to read more about Fran and see some pictures of us with Fran, go to our blog, that's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And up in the right hand, you will see a search bar. Do a search, and you will find, do a search for Fran Tate, and you will find there were at least three different posts we did about Fran and the
pictures.
One of them that says, Happy New Year, Fran Tate. You will see a picture of us with Fran when she was in the WGN studios. Just an extraordinary lady.
Mm-hmm. nice to talk about her, too, because she's one of those people that anybody that listened to us on the all-night show, they said, so whatever happened to Fran? Yeah. She was legendary. The night is slipping right through our fingers as we get closer and closer to autumn here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Chrissy Marie and Pumpkin Spice Kind of Life.
It's just goofy.
I know nothing about her. We stumbled onto that song a couple weeks ago, and it just...
Back when it was 100 degrees and Starbucks was going, we have pumpkin spice. Yay. It's autumn. No, today is the first day of autumn. So
the autumnal equinox is here on Sunday.
7:43 this morning. So just in a few hours, it's officially autumn. And today is a day where Chicago Henge appears. James had this in his newscast earlier. For anyone who's listening to us outside of Chicago, you're saying, huh? I've heard of Stonehenge. Never heard of Chicago Henge. You sound like Beulah Witch from Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Well...
You still sound like Beulah. Well.
I dated Beulah before Johnny and I.
You did. She almost came and clobbered me with her broom.
She did.
When she found out we were getting married.
Every New Year's Eve, Beulah used to take me for a ride on her broom around the city.
Chicago Henge is a collaboration between nature and the city grid that happens twice a year. Our buddy Barry Butler, extraordinary photographer who has made Chicago look so beautiful, he will be out today. And he was one of the first people, even before they started calling it Chicago Henge, he was the one that was stationed in downtown Chicago to get that shot of the sun setting. Right through the buildings, and it was just perfect the way it just lines up. And that's going to happen again today. Of course, being the first day of fall, the northern and southern hemispheres get the same amount of daylight, and the tilt of the Earth's axis will perfectly align with the sun at 7:43 a.m. Then day by day, the northern hemisphere will tilt away from the sun, and Chicago's days will get shorter, the shortest being the winter solstice on December 21st. But Stonehenge is derived from, Chicago Henge is derived from Stonehenge. The Adler Planetarium says that the prehistoric structure in England is believed to have been used to track solar cycles such as the equinoxes and the solstices that indicated change of the seasons. So Chicagoans enjoy the fact that we have our own mini version of it. And Barry Butler is quoted in the Tribune today as saying, it's a historic event that we've kind of modernized here in Chicago. He's already got his cameras ready to get out there today. A near-perfect Chicago Henge is visible a few days before and a few days after Sunday's prime showing. So if you can't get out today, maybe on Monday you can catch something. Whether they eagerly await Chicago Henge like Barry Butler or not, people across the state are responding to the change of seasons. Shoppers on Michigan Avenue are checking out new fall clothing. Farmers downstate are beginning to harvest their crops. Children are talking Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
And in our house, we've decorated one and soon to be our second Halloween tree to get ready for the seasons.
And our living room has become a little more Halloween-like, too.
Yes, it
has. We have a few spirits and ghosts.
Our theme of the living room is ghosts this year. Mm-hmm. Yes, ghosts.
And black cats,
yes. Because I am a crazy, childless cat lady.
Mm-hmm.
Julian, as a photographer, have you ever made a point of getting out to capture Chicago Henge?
No, not really.
Have you seen any of Barry Butler's Chicago Henge pictures?
I love everything he does.
I do too. Yeah.
I would never do it. It's the same thing every year.
It's the same old
thing. Yeah, but it's a cool same thing.
It's the same old sun every year. I hate that way that happens. Right?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm segueing for a second, but speaking of pictures, if you go to our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. We put up a picture of us with Fran Tate from mm-hmm. the Tribune Tower Studios
when we were all,
several years ago.
We were all kids back then. Of course, she was in her mid-70s in that picture.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Wearing fishnets.
Yes, and hot pants.
She really did. She really did.
It would be freezing cold, and she'd say, well, this is nothing. I come from the top of the world. Are you kidding me? Speaking of the top of the world, Barry Butler says the best place to capture really, really good pictures of the sun as it's setting tonight would be on a CTA elevated platform. His favorites are the Staten Lake and the LaSalle and Van Buren.
Now, okay.
I bet you money he won't be at either one of those places. He has secret locations where he will go and get amazing
photos. He fastidiously.
Yes.
And I believe that's the proper use of the word. He studies the weather.
Mm-hmm. The wind.
The wind, because he wants to be in the most advantageous place right. to take the best picture.
And if you don't follow him, you really should. In fact, I think on his Facebook page, he was posting, he has his calendars for 2025 done. And the calendars are all his pictures. We get those every year as yeah. Christmas gifts for family members, and they absolutely love them. And those are available. I talked to him on Saturday about joining us, but he has a very early morning gig. He's probably going to get out there, so when mm-hmm. the sun is
yep.
just rising, he can catch pictures. And he said he would join us sometime in the real near future. It's just that he had things he had to do early this morning.
People to see, places to go.
Yeah.
By the way, before we completely run out of time, I want to remind you that next week, once again, we will have a late start because of the Chicago Blackhawks preseason hockey game against St. Louis. So we'll be on kind of like we were tonight, somewhere mm-hmm. probably between 10 and 10:30. And next week, Jessica Radloff is going to join us. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk showbiz and new TV shows for fall.
Right. A lot of those starting in October. And she was at the Emmys, and she's got some great stories from behind the scenes at the Emmys. But she also has had her hands on some of these new shows that are coming out in October.
And Patrick Crispin will be joining us.
Yep.
And boy, have we got stuff to talk about with him.
We do.
A ton of things. But right, I hear.
Yeah,
that's the Zamboni. The blue light is flickering, and that means it's time to get ready for us getting out of here, and time to pitch for our last caller. If you would like to be our last call, call 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200.
I love our listeners. 847 area code. Will the Zamboni be out tonight?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's working the halls.
That's Big Plug Bob.
Yeah, he's working the halls.
The Zamboni. That's an indication that we need to get out of here. So if you would like to try and be our last caller, and you don't have to have anything really pithy to say.
It's pithy with a T-H.
Mm-hmm. Just make a fist and let us know who you are and where you're calling from. And mm-hmm. You could win some goodies from this here radio station
as long as you have
not won anything within the past 60 days.
That's right.
Or 2 months, whichever comes first.
Yes. Okay, it's official. We're in the final stretch of the show because I just get silly. And no, I'm not.
As opposed to all the rest of the show.
Hey, I am not medicated, despite what one of our listeners suggested, that I was maybe telling a little white lie that, in fact, I was medicated. No.
Nope.
I got a comfortable position. I got my great pillow behind my back. And until Steve forced me to stand up during the last newscast, I said, I'm just going to sit here. You can just roll me out to the car in this chair because I'm actually comfortable right here, right now. More so than I've been for the last 3 weeks. So,
and theoretically, we'll be back here next week.
Yes.
depending on
But we want you as our last caller, 312-981-7200, and we'll just find out what's happening in your world in just a few minutes here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. Uh-huh. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Losing time. We're ready to go.
Losing time.
Head on out.
So let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope.
Can't stay here.
No. Gotta go home.
For those of you who don't know, that's Red Peters. That's the closing song. No, we are not going to play the rest of it. Yes, you can look it up on YouTube, or you can go back into our blog, stephenjohnny.wordpress.com, and you'll find we did post a link to it a few months ago, but no, we ain't going to play it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, a listener tells us that on the equinox, we're supposed to have a sumptuous feast. So during that break, we were deciding what our sumptuous equinox feast would be, and I think we've decided grilled cheese and chips.
Yep.
That's what's going to be on the menu.
That's what we're going for.
In an hour, we'll be enjoying that sumptuous, melty cheese on a good bread, bathed in butter. Okay, I'm going to do the honors. We got a bunch of folks, and I think I will choose. Do we have numbers choose from?
Well, I think I was going to pick there. I was going to pick five, but five just dropped. Larry. So, Larry, if you're listening, give us a call back, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Larry give us a call.
Okay.
Okay, Larry, give us a call, and Julian will recognize. Was Larry feeling too much pressure? Did we?
Yes. He walked across the room and got disconnected.
Did he say he had something pithy to say, and maybe he
got scared?
The pithiest of things.
The pithiest. Well, should I choose a number?
I guess we'll. We could choose a number.
Larry's probably still holding on the line, waiting for us to pick up.
I see.
We're trying to be fair.
But Julian
yay,
is...
Yay or nay? Julian's doing his own show. Oh, bye.
Well, hi, Johnny. Where are you calling from?
I got nothing pithy to say, so don't look at me. Really. Am I moving on, Julian? Oh, he's going to find out. So... What's the word?
What are we thinking?
We lost Larry.
Okay, but then we're going to move on. I'm going to choose one. How about that?
Let's try three.
I'll go with number three. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
number three.
Do we know who number three is?
Number three. Let him sign in.
Okay. Let me see. Okay. Hi there. You're number three. Hello, number three.
Sign in, please.
Hello.
Hi.
And what's your name? This is such a well-run machine.
Racine.
What's your name?
This is Bob from Racine.
Bob from Racine. Okay. I was waiting for you to say your name was Larry. I'm going to go, what? Larry, we hardly knew you.
And why are you up at this hour, Bob?
Can I tell you my new joke?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard today, but the president met with the ambassador from Japan, and they're talking about getting a bullet train in Russia or in the.
No, that's not funny. Not funny.
Nope.
So poor Larry, we hardly knew
one of the reasons why. why we screen the calls, because there are too many idiots out there, especially as we get closer to an election. Speaking of idiots.
Oh, okay. Don't look at me.
I didn't get to mention to Tom Appel when we were talking about electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody posted in one of the groups that we follow from the Panhandle. Somebody posted, I just got an electric vehicle. How do I charge it?
Oh, no.
Now,
no.
Any rational person would realize this is a fake post, but there were tons of people who immediately jumped in with, "Oh, well, that'll teach you to vote for Harris," or I mean, it got instantly political.
Became political,
and people were just.
So do you think that it was originally posted for that reason, to bring those people out of the woodwork?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Because why would anyone want to sound so ignorant as to say, I just bought a vehicle, now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
What? So that sounds like somebody was fishing.
It's just...
Which is too bad.
Yeah. There's just so much stupid... The closer we get to Election Day. But the important thing is register to vote.
Yes. Yes. And the important thing is, and we mentioned this earlier in the week, check to be sure that you are registered.
Yeah.
Because that can be an eye-opener, too, when you find out, wait, when I moved, you mean, I what? I got to go register?
In fact, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. Scroll down a few posts, and you will find we had a link to the page. You can just click on that, and then you put in your zip code, and you see if you are registered. And,
right.
And you may think you are, and you might not be. But it's kind of important.
Yes. Very important. In fact, that reminded me, and I don't know, we only have a second left here. There's a big deal going on in Florida about people who are basically stealing property that's not theirs. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this, and it is a very big deal in Florida, mm-hmm. where somehow you can get your hands on someone's property. It's not yours. You haven't paid a penny for it. And you, the rightful owner of that property, does not realize that your property's been stolen from you until somebody comes knocking on the door because they bought your property right out from under you.
So one of the good things that Bay County, Florida, which is the county that we have our little house in, that they've done, they've set up a registry where they have your
contact,
tax records, they have your contact information, and they will notify you if anyone tries to do anything with your property.
And we're going to do a show on that to find out what they're doing in Illinois along those lines. Because let me tell you, when I registered, I felt good because I thought, okay, great. Now, if anybody tries to do any monkey business.
It's an extra...
Yeah. You're going to find out.
Barricade against.
You're going to find out. Absolutely. Okay, we are clean out of time. We're going to be back here next Saturday.
We think.
A little bit later.
The Wolfman is right around the corner. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thanks to Julian and Bob and Ron and James and all the ships at sea.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you next week.